mistakes. There is something you did and the consequences were grave. Others are familiar with bad relationships, hurting relationships. As we say, you are left in wilderness. We are all familiar with these nasty experiences. We have painful scars that they keep on reminding us of this past. Whenever we see them, tears, not of joy, flow from our tears, from our eyes. We are all familiar with these nasty experiences of the past. And perhaps this is your blessed state today. You could be going through a rough present thanks to your nasty past. Now, the result of this, friends, is that we feel discouraged and disappointed. We get deeply hurt by our own failures. Those bad memories, more often than not, bring sorrow to us. Sometimes we hate ourselves. We look at the mistakes we have done and we beat ourselves so hard. We hate ourselves. Sometimes we are tripped by the trash of our past. Now, one characteristic that is so huge about our nasty experiences of the past is that they have a successful tendency to inhibit our forward progress. In other words, when you remember what you did, that becomes a barrier for you. It becomes a bump for you, telling you you have to slow down. And this remembrance, friends, is very, very painful and it's very hurtful. Now, when we are supposed to be making forward progress, we find ourselves going back. Where we are supposed to be rejoicing at what God has done in our lives, we start regretting of the bad things that we did or experienced in the past. Now, the Apostle Paul, like us, had a past that was not very good. No wonder he wrote in Philippians chapter 3 that what one thing I do is that I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. And I press on toward the goal to win the prize. It's a very important verse. So in other words, what is happening here, Paul refuses to allow the disappointments and the failures of his past to land in the country of his ambitions and future. He realizes that he had a bad past, but he also had the knowledge of the future God had given him and promised him. So he refused to allow the disappointments and the failures of his past to land in the country of his ambitions and future. That's why he says, one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead and I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Now, the past may have been pathetic and wretched, but the bearers of the undying hope in Christ realizes that yesterday ended last night. And when you know yesterday ended last night, you remember what the word says in Lamentations, that the mercies of God are made new every morning. So it doesn't really matter what happened yesterday. Yesterday ended last night. God has given us a new dawn. He has given us a new morning. And the gift of a new day is a gift of an opportunity for you to do better and to become a better person. Yesterday may have been bad, but the believers of a better tomorrow are never cowed by yesterday's experiences. That means where you left me yesterday may not be where you'll find me today. I could have been down yesterday, but today I am standing. I could have been standing yesterday, but today I'm walking. I could have been walking yesterday, but today I'm running. I could have been running yesterday, but today I'm flying. The masses of God are new each and every moment. morning. I think that's why the prophet Micah said, rejoice not at me, my enemy, even if I fall not once, not twice, not thrice, not five times, not five times. He says, even if I fall down seven times, yet I'll still stand up. Because where I was yesterday is not where I am today by the grace of God. And I found a quote that I think is very important for us. Had I not fallen, I would not have risen. Had I not been subject to darkness, I could not have seen the light. So these experiences present to us a possibility of a better tomorrow. So it doesn't really matter what happened yesterday. Today, the mercies of God are made very new. So what are we going to do? Four things I'm suggesting today to deal with these past nasty experiences, this history that is so bad on us. And I want to talk about four things that are very, very important. Now, the first one is you need not to dwell on the past. And this we can read from Isaiah 43 verse 18. We need not to dwell on the past. And the prophet says, there is one thing I do. I forget the things that are former. The things that are gone. I forgot them. I forget them. Now, this is not a stop from a reflective reference to the past. This doesn't mean you should not remember what happened to you in the past. But what the prophet is saying is that we should not dwell on that. And dwelling here means letting the past affect the future adversely. Letting your past change your future. Letting the past hurt your future. So this is what the prophet is warning us about. He says, I forget the former things. I don't dwell on the past. Sometimes we delete our past, but not completely. And we keep on going back to it, what they call it, to the recycle bin. And you can easily retrieve what happened to you. And that affects you to your today. But the prophet says, no, you should not dwell on your past. You have heard people say, forgive and forget. I don't think you can forget some things. Some things are so huge. People do you wrong and you see them every day. It is not practically possible for you not to remember what they did to you. But the truth is that remembrance can never be hurting if you have dealt with that past through forgiveness. It will not hurt you. You will remember, yes, but it will not be hurtful to you. So in other words, we are saying, do not let your own past own you. You have a better today because the mercies of God are made new every morning. Again, this is what the Apostle Paul says, that I forget what is behind me and I strain towards the goal. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Now, let me give you two stories that refer. The first one is a story of a man with a memory condition. Now, there's a story about a man who was slowly losing his memory. The doctor told him that surgery might reverse this condition and restore his memory. But one of the nerves might be severed in the process, causing total blindness. Now, the surgeon asked the patient, what would you rather have? Your sight, all your memory. The man pondered the question for a few minutes and then told the doctor, my sight, doctor, because I would rather see where I am going than remember where I have been. This is powerful, people. The next story I want to share with you is a football legend called Pele. I'm sure all of us know the man. He was asked one of his secrets to his success. And he said, most players look where the ball is, but I look where it will be. And this, brothers and sisters, is an invitation for us to a forward movement. It is an invitation to all of us not to dwell on the past and to move forward with God's speed. Number two is we need to seek forgiveness. We need to seek forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the best ways to deal with your past. Now, the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, the Lord has forgiven you. In other words, when we repent our sins, it is as if they did not happen. When we are sorry and God forgives our sins, it is as if that did not happen. Because as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, I've taken away your sins from you. He says in Revelation that those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, I correct. So forgiveness brings correction. And it is through correction that we change reigns. It is through this correction that we change from the path of destruction and we are set on the direction of our destiny. By confessing our sins are placed under the cleansing blood, and when it is under the blood, it does not condemn at all. It is totally forgiven. So friends, the blessed must forget the past by correction, or else the past will become a moral and a spiritual liability for the future. In other words, if you don't deal with it today, it has a capacity of catching up with you at some point. So it will become a liability to you. It will become a problem to you. So you better deal with it today, because it will catch up with you soon or later. So forgiveness is critical. Number two is you need to forgive yourself. Now, forgiving yourself means blessing the truth that your heavenly Father has forgiven you. I remember one day I talked to a lady who had committed abortion 3 times. And she came to the Lord and asking for forgiveness. But she was not able to forgive herself. It was a painful experience. And she cried all the times. And we had to tell her, if God forgave you, you need to know that it did not happen. He forgave you. And as far as the east is from the west, your sin has been taken away by the Lord. And the hardest thing was to convince her to forgive herself. And the basis of forgiving yourself is what happened at Calvary. If the Lord forgive you, then you have no business of beating yourself so hard. Now, when you forgive yourself, you have no time to regret. You know, somebody said, this is a guy called Les Brown. He said, when you forgive yourself first, you release the need to replay a negative situation over and over again in your mind. You don't become a hostage to your past by always reviewing and reliving your mistakes. You don't remind yourselves of what should have, could have, or would have been. Release it and let it go. In other words, move on. You have no business to regret, because you know, yes, you made a mistake, but God has given you another chance to become better. And there's a prayer I like so much. It's called the Prayer of Serenity. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to change things that cannot be changed. You cannot change your past. You cannot. It happened. That is water under the bridge. And this prayer says, God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can. And this is what we are talking about. God gives you another opportunity not to repeat the mistake, to become a better person. And also he says, the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom to know the difference between what you can change and what you can change. The prayer of serenity. So you need to forgive yourself. Number three is you need to make necessary changes. You need to make necessary changes. As I say many times here, there are things that God will do for you, and there are things God will not do for you. God has given you forgiveness. Now after that, then you need to do something on your side. Revelation chapter 2 says, remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent. Do the first works, or else I'll come quickly and will remove the candlestick out of its place, except that you repent. So God tells us, you need to reverse. You need to reminisce. You need to remember from where you have fallen. It is clear to you, this is why I made a mistake. Then when you remember that, you correct it, you repent. And you start doing the things what the Bible is calling the first works, what you were doing before you made that mistake. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. As for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul." So this is an invitation to reflect critically on where you made a mistake and then make necessary adjustments. Because through adjustments, it is through adjustment that we make that which is weak strong and that which is crooked straight. So you need to make necessary changes that God will never do for you. God will forgive you, but the changes are yours to make. Now think about this. This is the Bible reading that was read to us, the story of the prodigal son. This guy made a huge mistake. He asked for money and for an inheritance from his dad and went to a country far away and wasted his life in prodigal living. And this guy did something very, very important. He had a chance to think about his life. And we are living in a culture where we are invited away from thinking about our lives. When you look at what is happening with young people, we are only listening. We have things in our ears, we are on our phones, but we don't have time to think about ourselves. And this is what this guy did. He had time for himself. And he thought about it. The Bible says he came back to his senses. And he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to eat and spare? And I'm suffering here." Then he said, "I'm going to correct it. I'm going to make necessary adjustments. I'm going to make necessary changes." He said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand. And I'm only going to carry words with myself and go back to my father. And I'm going to tell the father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your servants." And this is a very important thing you need to do. Thinking about it and doing something about it. Now we need to think about our disobedience long enough to go and seek the mercy of God and declare, "I'm going to sin no more." We need to think about our weaknesses for so long enough to seek God's strength. And we need to think about our nakedness long enough to seek a cover from God. So this is very important. When God invites you to go back to the crossroads to think about it, think about your life, what is happening. Look at the decisions you made. Are they right? Are they good? Look at the people you hang out with. Have some time to think about it. And when you think about it in the right way, you'll be able to make necessary decisions. And so, as we come to a close, I would ask you to make it your practice to think about it. And this is something I tell even the teenagers. We come in from a culture where we don't do journals. How many people do journals here? Like journaling, like you write your experiences so frequently. How many people do that? Okay, ladies do that, men don't. Now, you have a gadget here called the phone. If you have a smartphone, it can help you do that. You can download an app that can help you record the events of the day. In other words, at the end of the day, make it your habit to think about the day. What went on well? What did not go on well? Where you made a mistake? Where you did not make a mistake? This will help you to go back at the crossroads, as the Bible is saying. Make it your habit. Like this prodigal son, he had time with himself to think. He said, "This is what I'm going to do. Because what I'm doing, my present state is not good, it's not proper. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call for my ancient paths. I'm going to do the things I was doing first." And it is through this reflection that the Spirit of God speaks to you. That God points at you. This is not right for you. The decision you made today was not good. The ones you told your colleague, You know, the exchange you had in that hotel when they give you wrong change, that is when you discover, yes, I did wrong. But if you're not going to be deliberately thinking about your life, then you have no chance to listen to the correction of the Spirit. You have no time to hear what God is telling you. You have no time to correct your mistakes. So make it your culture to think about it. Think about your life so frequently. Think about the experiences of the day. And that will give you an opportunity for you to listen to what the Spirit is saying. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.